at the BBC for a look at what's happening in the UK and surrounds. Pete, UK elections, the Rwanda Bowl. Let's begin this week where you are, Pete. A number of local elections are taking place. These are very significant. Why?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't normally... Good morning, and thanks for having me on, as always. I wouldn't normally talk about local UK elections on an international news look ahead, but these, as you suggest, are very significant because they will give us a good indication as to which party here in the UK is on course to win the next general election. Now, that's due to happen no later than January of next year, but speculation as to when the next general election is going to happen is rife here at the moment. There have been rumours circulating this weekend even that the Prime Minister Rishi Sunak is going to call one today. He was doing the rounds over the weekend, various political interviews on the television, one I saw on Sky Television, and he has refused to come out and say exactly when the general election is going to happen. But a lot of people are saying, political commentators here are suggesting, that depending how these elections go at the end of the week, we'll understand whether Mr. Sunak is going to call an election or not. Now, the first thing to say is that the opposition Labour Party have been way ahead in the polls for some months now. So many would think, well, why would Mr. Sunak want to call an election sooner rather than later? Maybe he'd want to give enough time to try and claw back some of those polling numbers and you know, see if his policies, some new policies, are beginning to work and what have you. However, some are suggesting that if results go particularly badly, then Mr. Sunak will call an election because it will you know, perhaps stave off people within his own party that might want to topple him. You might remember that Rishi Sunak replaced Liz Truss, and Liz Truss replaced Boris Johnson, all since the last general election. So basically people are waiting here, I would say, in large numbers for that general election to be called. We don't know when it's going to happen, but what we also know is that the results could be, of these local elections, an acid test for the UK government's flagship Rwanda policy. Now, that seeks to send some asylum seekers to Rwanda for processing. Last week, that cleared a major hurdle in the British Parliament, eventually passing through after months of political ping-pong, as it's known over here, going back between the various houses. And now the British Prime Minister, Rishi Sunak, has repeated his promise that he will get flights off the ground over to Rwanda. He was saying by the springtime, but now he's saying by July. So we might get an indication now that he's had some progress with that, as to whether, you know, that's going to, what the British public think about that, and that could be reflected in the results of these local elections. Just to give you a quick reminder about this highly contentious piece of legislation which has just made it through. Essentially, the British government want to send some migrants that have come here in small boats across the channel to Rwanda for protesting. It's, as I said, it's highly contentious. The High Court here in the UK struck it down last year. The British government then changed the bill to declare Rwanda a safe country, and now it says that it's going to have these flights taking off by the summertime. It's you know, as I said, it's contentious. The critics here have said that it won't work, it won't deter people from getting into the boats across the channels. In fact, those numbers are up for this year from the same time last year. The United Nations last year called on the UK to rethink its plan. Europe's highest human rights body, the Council of Europe, has also called on the UK to scrap it. But despite all that, and after months of political wrangling, the bill got through last week. And as I said, the Prime Minister insists that flights will take off with migrants to Rwanda by the summer. Whether that happens or not remains to be seen.
I'm just thinking, are there any other countries maybe looking at the Rwanda solution to the refugee crisis?
Yeah, it's an interesting one, isn't it? That people come, you know, make it all the way to the UK and are then going to be shipped off to another country, you know, put onto a plane and flow into another country to then have their asylum claim processed there. First of all, the UK says that now that they've done this, they're also looking to replicate the Rwanda plan with other countries. Apparently, talks are underway with Armenia, Botswana and the Ivory Coast. But when this legislation, as I said, eventually made it through the British Parliament last week, Rishi Sunak, the Prime Minister, celebrated it and said he described the bill as a game changer and that other countries are considering similar plans. That's actually to some extent true. Denmark has looked at similar plans. Last year, the United Nations also criticised Denmark's ambitions to transfer asylum seekers again to third countries like Rwanda. However, that process in Denmark is nowhere near as far along the line, if you like, as where it's got to in Britain. Also, in January, Albania's parliament approved a deal that it signed with Italy that would see a small number of asylum seekers sent there. So, yes, there are one or two other countries looking at this, but then in the past, this is not a new thing. Let's look at Australia, for example. They used to ship migrants off. That was highly controversial, and they've now ended that. So, yes, maybe one or two other countries are looking at this. Perhaps, you know, America has its own issues with border problems, hasn't it? It's going to be a huge issue in the American election. But really, I think Britain almost out on its own here with this particular policy.
Let's move to Georgia. Some protests over there, and it's set to continue in the former Soviet state of Georgia this week as the government's controversial foreign agents bill makes its way through Parliament. What's this one about?
Well, let's first of all just remind listeners exactly where Georgia sits. It's in between Turkey and Russia. And in the last 2 weeks, the country has seen large protests. And they kind of came to a head last night or yesterday as thousands of Georgians marched through the capital in Tbilisi, protests building against a bill on foreign agents that the country's opposition and Western countries have said is authoritarian and Russian-inspired. Protests began earlier this month when the bill passed its first reading, and it's due to go into Parliament again on Tuesday. So protest building. Now, the bill proposes, and it's been proposed by the ruling Georgian Dream Party, who've been in power for the last 12 years, that NGOs and independent media that receive more than 20% of their funding from foreign donors have to register with organisations. And the fear is amongst critics of this that because NGOs and civil society organisations in Georgia are involved in election monitoring, protesters are concerned that the bill could be used to crush critical voices ahead of parliamentary elections in Georgia this year. Parallels have been drawn with a very similar authoritarian bill that came into force in Russia in 2012, and the Russian government has since used that to marginalise voices and, you know, challenge any sort of dissent on the Kremlin. Now, many are worried that such a deal will also derail Georgia from its path towards the EU membership. Georgia, the vast majority of people in Georgia want to join the EU. In fact, there was a poll conducted last year. It was supported by nearly 80% of Georgians. And the path seemed to be set in December of last year when the EU granted it candidate status. So there's a lot at stake here. And that, you know, Western governments have come out and said that, you know, that if this bill was to go through, that would severely jeopardize any EU membership.
Let's hear from the other side. What's Russia got to say about this?
Well, for Russia, for its part, has rubbished these allegations of meddling. A Kremlin spokesman, Dmitry Peskov, you may have heard of him, he said the protests against the Georgian government's bill were provoked by foreign forces who wanted to stir up anti-Russian sentiment in the country and denied that Russian had any connection to the legislation. However, analysts that I've read disagree. They say that the Kremlin, if you look on Facebook, for example, there are pro-Kremlin Facebook pages that have been spreading claims that the West is behind the protests and pushing the narrative that the US is planning a coup. This sort of stuff we've heard before, you know, all the way back, say, to the US elections in 2016. And I think I've even been on this program talking about how many important elections are coming up this year. So I don't think, you know, we're seeing this, you know, being protested against in Georgia at the moment, this idea of election meddling from outside. But this is a topic that's going to come up again and again, not just in somewhere like Georgia, which perhaps is not on many people's radar, but certainly, you know, somewhere like the US, which again, of course, has a very big and very important presidential election at the end of the year.
Okay, to Canada, a spy inquiry making the headlines there. A government inquiry essentially will release its initial findings following growing reports of foreign interference and spying. Bring us up to speed.
Yeah, again, well, we've just talked about Georgia and the allegations about Russia perhaps meddling in its political affairs, and now we're over to Canada, and it's almost the same thing. Canada's in the midst of a contentious public inquiry. It's examining foreign interference, not just by Russia, but China and other foreign states. And the inquiry is due to publish its initial findings this week. It's focused largely on allegations that China meddled in Canadian politics, but also India as well. A briefing document from the main spy agency in Canada said that China had, quote, clandestinely and deceptively interfered with the last two federal elections. It said in one instance, in the 2019 election, international students were allegedly coerced into supporting one Liberal candidate in a nomination race. Other allegations of foreign interference include opaque cash injections of thousands of dollars from China and a proxy of India's government providing illegal financial support to Canada's pro-Indian politicians. Oh. Now, those countries, for their part, have denied those allegations, of course. But there has been quite interesting testimony in the last couple of weeks. The Prime Minister, Justin Trudeau himself has testified. He said that his government and agencies have been doing exactly what is required to stop any foreign interference. But we're going to find out, you know, more information as to, you know, if there's more concrete information about these countries interfering in, again, what I say is going to be, I think, a major issue in the next few months as we have more of these elections taking place around the world.
Canada is not the only country in the West with concerns about foreign interference. What is this, paranoia? Is it real?
Well, I mean, it's very similar stuff. We're talking about international election interference. But last week in Europe, we had two very similar stories of arrests involving people alleged to be spying for China. So there was a UK parliamentary researcher and another man here in the UK that were charged with spying for China after allegedly providing information which could be, quote, useful to an enemy. One man was, as I said, a researcher for the Conservative Party, the governing Conservative Party here. So he was obviously rubbing shoulders with quite important people within the government. And then at the same time last week, police in Germany said they arrested a man also on suspicion of China, spying for China, or working again as an aide for a German politician. There's also some industrial espionage accused as well. A couple of, I think it was three German citizens were arrested for allegedly handing over technologies with potential military purposes to Chinese intelligence. So you ask, you know, is this paranoia or not? Well, I mean, I can't answer that question directly, but certainly when people are being arrested, when these reports are, you know, continue to being, you know, inquiries are opening up, it does seem that there's a lot of smoke at the moment, put it that way.
We thank you for your time, Pete Ross, our BBC colleague, chatting with us about the things on their desk and the view that they have on it, our BBC Crossing.